3, 2, 1. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. It is now episode 4 of Grunt Talk. Now, last week, thank you so much, guys, for tuning in for my special guest, Devin. And going to be trying to get at least a veteran active duty member at least once a week. So we're going to shoot for at least once a week podcast. I know I've got another one set up this Friday as well with one of my good friends, Gino. Special Forces, interacting, just crazy kind of stories he's got. But going today, I actually wanted to give you the part 2 of the mission I was telling you about the other day. So part 2 of what we would call the mission, it had been 04, so 4 o'clock in the morning since we had started this mission, and we got to such a point where, like I was saying before, you already kind of knew the nuances that people would give you, meaning you knew when somebody was going to attack, when all of a sudden you look around, there's a small city, and then boom, there's nobody there. So that was always that little red flag for us. So we get to a certain point, we're going, and we're slowly starting to see people just leave in general. And we keep looking like, huh, that's kind of odd. Us doing our job, being so accustomed to the suck, right? That's what most grunts would tell you. Accustomed to the suck is just a metaphor we use, saying we're so used to being in this shitty situation that it's natural for us. We feel at home. And we enjoy it to a certain extent. As long as we're with our brothers, nothing that we won't be able to do and we can't get out of. Type of mindset we always have. So at this point, it's roughly around, I want to say 1 p.m., 2 p.m. Afghan national time. And we have to go across a wadi. Now, a wadi is pretty much a big-ass ditch with water. It's kind of like their river system that they made themselves so they can get water irrigated to their plants, irrigated to them. Now, keep in mind, this water is not clean. It is nowhere near U.S. standards, what we would consider healthy. This is something that these people have grown up in, are used to. They're bred in it. They know this water. And a little side story, I remember one day me and my buddy Wally, we were at a certain outpost and we saw an Afghan, I want to say infant, maybe a little bit bigger than an infant, maybe 2 years old, you know, drinking some water, what we called shit water, because that water was super brown and I'm pretty sure there was shit in it at one point down that river. So us, being American, of course, we had some fresh water. Got a frozen water, threw to him. I'll never forget, and this is why I never take for granted what we have as a first world country. When we threw that bottle to him, and his face of disgust when he drank the clean, ice-cold water, he dumped that water, went back to that shit water and filled it up, drank it, gave him a little bit of the shakes, but he enjoyed that way more. And that's when I knew, damn, we are some privileged motherfuckers. Going back to that story, so we had to cross that, and all they really had is this fucking pipe that we had to cross. So when we get to the pipe crossing, a couple are standing by. And keep in mind that my team is the gun team. So my job was to provide that rear security always. We go, they're slowly starting to go, slowly starting to see things. And at one point, one of my friends just fucking falls in like a dumbass. But we're almost there, we're almost crossing ourselves. And next thing you know, boom, starts firing. And it's on, you know, it's game time. So we immediately, the gun team, jump into that wadi that was down there trying to get cover. And at this point, my boy Zettel, David, I never forget it, just looked at me and said, damn, I forgot my gun back there. His 240, his big machine gun. So we go over there, and Carson, you know, unfortunately, Carson was one of our dear brothers who sadly passed away. Looks at Zettel and just tells him, I'll go get it. And I'll never forget my boy David saying, don't be a hero. But the way he said it, we always laugh to this day because it wasn't a scared kind of say, don't be a hero. It was more just of a, I don't know if he was trying to be funny, but it was just fucking hilarious. And we couldn't just help but laugh as we're getting shot at. This is the mindset we have. So we get it. And my brother Sam and my brother Shiloh, DJ, are all right there. And we're going and we're realizing we're getting kind of flanked from somewhere. There's these mud huts to the right of us. And as I go over there to go help and see what they're seeing, Wall is already kind of giving his thing and already shooting up. As I go over and I kind of see what they're looking at, Shiloh, who wasn't really trained to be a gunner before, but we were able to train him really well, go ahead and kills one guy, and then Sam kills another person right after that. We knew at that point, it was going to be a long day. It's going to be a long day at the office, is what we would say. And the amount of work that we would put in that day, after looking at it, was crazy. DJ sees two guys in the corner, kills them. Another guy pops up right behind him as soon as he got killed. And Shiloh, after killing them, kind of set up that line of fire for him. So with that, Sam was able to kill the other guy. As that's going on, we're still getting fired at. We're still getting fired at from a mud hut we literally just passed. And the reason why we weren't able to see them is a lot of people knock the Afghan, you know, Taliban, and really don't realize that they're really smart technicians. How they were firing us, they were firing within a small little hole. So no one was really getting to them. We get to a certain point, we're trying to get cover, and we hear an Afghan shooting. He's one of the National Army guys who's on our side. And we're kind of looking around like, what's he shooting at? As DJ turns around and goes look what he's looking at, you just see a sniper bullet, bam, right in the dome, right in the head. That dude was dead. And common mistake, most people look at that, you see somebody breathing still, assuming like, oh, he's still alive. Which, you know, there have been stories of people getting shot in the head and they lived. But with the amount of bad protection he had on his head, he was dead. He was taking his last breaths where, you know, mistakenly, DJ said that he was still alive. When in reality, he's dead. So our next objection started turning to get that guy and get him to safety. And keep in mind, we're still getting shot at. We're still getting some pretty heavy fucking fire from some Dishkas, their kind of machine guns. So we're able to get to a certain point and we grab him and we lift him up and take him in there. This point, we take his helmet off, start trying to see if he is alive. But the minute we look, take his helmet off, yeah, brains are coming out, stooping out of his nose. The guy was dead. And I remember our medic who was trying to work on him, kind of attachment, he was working on him, trying to save him, but it just wasn't the same. And actually, that affected him that much where he couldn't go back to the field after that. That was his one and done mission. And it's a lot. A lot of people, at that time, I was 19, to see somebody's brains coming out. It's a lot to take in. But I already knew, at least for myself, that was expected. It was expected for me not to return. My job was to make sure my men came home. I didn't give a fuck what happened to me. I cared what happened to my brothers. And that was my job. So after that, firefights are still going. We get to a certain point where we're able to get some help and get a pretty much what you call a drop, where we'll have certain planes come in and drop a certain amount of bombs to be able to kill that people that we can't reach. They were to come in and they did that. But prior to that, we were actually getting zeroed in by some mortars. So there was at one point where we're inside where we brought in that Afghan who was shot dead. And one of the scariest feelings where I thought I was, yep, I'm dead. I lived a good life. I'm dead. Was hearing a mortar round whistle. When you hear that, a lot of people don't realize you can hear in the movies. That's usually, it's pretty close overhead to you. So hearing that, your heart drops because you're never supposed to be able to hear a mortar round that close. When you hear it that close, you're likely going to die or you're going to be close to getting hit. And I remember my heart just sank. I accepted it, but I knew more like I was going to die. When it finally hit, and it hit outside of our wall, we laughed because when we look back later to where we were trying to get cover, we were underneath some fucking little straw building, and we laughed to this day of why the fuck did we think that was going to help us? You know, your instinct of you're about to die, you really don't think about it. As I kept going, they dropped the bombs and pretty much fire stopped. At one point, though, prior to that, we had a dog handler whose job was to have his dog smell out IEDs. And at one point, he wound up getting hurt because of an IED, and he was actually getting shot at. And this is at one point where one of our leaders, and this is why I tell people, if you are not ready to kill somebody, you're not ready to see certain people die that you love, don't join combat arms. Because this is at one point where one of the sergeants who had been in the military for a while just broke down. Just broke down and, you know, threw his weapon down. Became that coward. And at that time, you know, you have these group of men who didn't have experience like they did, but knew what was needed. And it happens. People have breaking points. And after years, years, and years, sometimes that's what it takes. Just years of breaking down, people can't take it. You know, and sadly, that's what happened. To him, at least. But after that, those bombs dropped, killed them. I think we wound up killing about 21 people that day. In total, including with the bombs. So it was quite a bit of work, long mission. After that, we had to go do a reconnaissance, check the bodies, see who was actually dead, check if they have any paperwork. After that, we had to go back to the original FOB to get debriefed, shower up if we could. In total, we were up since 04 the prior morning all the way till 04 the next day. By the time we were able to rest and lay down for a little bit, it was roughly around 06. So full day of fighting, pretty much. To this day, me and my brothers will always call that the mission, because it was so hectic and it was so crazy. I'll never forget that mission. But guys, that's going to cut it, this segment short and ending it right here. This has been episode 4 of Grunt Talk.